All right, Billy Cunningham, the Great American, with you this glorious Friday afternoon in the Tri-State. Big things happening all weekend long. First of all, of course, the Reds can clinch tonight by winning one game. All it takes, according to Dan Hort, is one game in Minnesota, and they're fighting for their lives also in the Central Division. They've made it to the playoffs, but they want to win the Central Division, of course, against their rivals, the Chicago White Sox. But tonight, Reds baseball. Tomorrow, UC and Army. If Army doesn't bring the tanks, UC should be okay. Then Sunday, Bengalis at Philadelphia. Can't get much bigger than that. And as Dan Hort knows also, you have the situation of tonight, Deer Park and Madeira. It can't get much better than that. Dan Hort, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. And Dan, how are you?
Willie, I am great. Thanks for having me on.
What's bigger, Deer Park versus Madeira, Army versus UC, Reds versus Minnesota, Bengals versus Philadelphia?
Boy, those are some good choices. Well, since I am paid to broadcast UC and the Bengals, I will say that those two are equally important, followed closely by the Reds trying to wrap up that playoff spot.
And when was the last time that at Nippert there were two ranked teams playing a college football game? Wasn't it like 10 to 12 years ago?
2008, back in the Brian Kelly era, when a ranked Cincinnati team hosted a ranked Pitt team. That was Cincinnati's Orange Bowl team. So that was the last time two top 25 teams squared off at the Nip.
Break down the game. I think both teams have played a little bit. UC had the warm-up against Austin Peay. Army's played a couple. Army, I assume, is not bringing howitzers, not the tanks. So that's a positive. But break it down, Army, UC tomorrow.
Well, Army has outscored its first two opponents 79-7, Willie. So they've played well in their first two games, but they haven't exactly faced powerhouses. They've defeated Middle Tennessee State and Louisiana Monroe. Here's your stat of the day about the mighty 22nd-ranked Black Knights of Army. In their first two games, they've completed three passes.
Wow. So you might tell
thrown nine.
So you might tell the coach they're a running team. Is that fair to say?
You can definitely draw that conclusion. They run the triple option, so it's going to be like watching Coleraine High School. And they run it really well. They're number one in the country in rushing offense, nearly 400 yards a game. But the pass is not a factor. Now, of course, as soon as I say that, they'll fake a run and throw an 80-yard pass down the field on the first play of the game. But in their first two games, three pass completions, nine pass attempts.
Dan, is it realistic to think that the Bearcats can run the table and be one of the final four?
Well, that possibility got less likely when the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided to play after all. I think when those two teams were out, then an undefeated team in the American Athletic Conference at least had a shot at being a Final Four participant. But now that all five Power Five conferences are going to play in the fall after all, it definitely got less likely. Impossible? No, but less likely.
And for those who want to attend, what are the rules about going to Nippert tomorrow?
Well, unless you are a direct family member of a player or coach or a member of the band, cheerleading squad, or dance squad, you can't go yet. So there will be a whopping crowd of hundreds in attendance, since every player is allowed to have four direct family members in attendance. But in the short term, this week and next week, that's it.
Of course, on campus, I assume the UC Bearcat football players are walking around. They're sitting in classes. They're in the dorms. I assume they are at the parties. They're in the meetings. They're practicing. But somehow we have to act as if, by a game being played, it's somehow dangerous to people sitting in the stands on a warm Saturday afternoon outside. We have to pretend as if that this is a crisis, which certainly it is not. I would have to assume they could admit 5,000 to 10,000 people, if permitted by the governor, and sit distantly apart from each other with family members and live your life, but that's a different issue. What about on Sunday with Philadelphia? Philadelphia's in terrible shape. Carson Wentz right now is the worst quarterback rating in all of football. The Bengals go in there as a decided underdog. I think the sheriff told me 6 or 7 point underdog. They're favored to lose. How big a game is this for the Bengals and the Joe Burrow era?
Well, I think it's huge, really, for this reason. Did you watch Jacksonville last night against the Miami Dolphins?
Terrible.
They were abysmal.
Terrible.
I mean, they made Ryan Fitzpatrick looked like Joe Montana in his prime last night with a big beard and lots of chest hair. But in any case, Jacksonville looked awful. That's the Bengals' next opponent. So if you can somehow go to Philadelphia, kick the Eagles while they're down, they got a bunch of injuries, especially on the offensive line. Carson Wentz, as you noted, has not played well so far this season.
No.
If they could somehow go there and win that game, then you've got a very legitimate chance to come home next week, beat Jacksonville, and be 2-2.
And I think
the first four games of the Burrow era. So that's why Sunday's game just got that much bigger in my opinion.
And Dan, I think against Jacksonville, isn't that the first game the Bengals can have fans? Did I read that correctly?
Up to 6,000.
6,000.
Yeah, up to 6,000.
Do you know why UC can't have 5,000 or 6,000 fans there? Is it the governor? Who's doing it?
That's still a UC decision at this point, Willie. Now that the governor has allowed venues to have up to 6,000, UC is, if I'm getting this right, they have the freedom to be able to do that. They just aren't comfortable doing that yet. I imagine at some point this season they will be allowing at least some fans into Nippert Stadium, but they have not made the decision to go that way so far.
I know you're a great baseball fan. Break down tonight's game. Minnesota v. Cincinnati. You got Maley on the mound. Then you hopefully they got to wrap it up by Sunday, correct? You don't want to waste Trevor Bauer in the last game of the season and not have him for Wednesday probably in Los Angeles. Kind of break down the Reds.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, Trevor Bauer is going to win the National League Cy Young Award winner. He'll be the first Cincinnati Reds pitcher ever to win that award, which is mind-boggling when you think about it with the tremendous history that this franchise has. But if they can wrap it up today or tomorrow, then he does not have to pitch on Sunday, and you could have legitimately one of the top three or four pitchers in baseball this year on the mound in game one of a three-game first-round playoff. I mean, that first-round playoff series is best of three. So if you have a stud like Trevor Bauer ready to go in game one that can get you game one, then all you have to do is win one out of two games with, you know, Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray as your other two starting pitchers. I don't care if it's the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium or anybody. That is very possible to pull off. I don't think the Reds could beat them in seven, but they can certainly beat them in three if that's the way their first-round matchup turns out.
You know, Dan, about 13 days ago, I can recall on September the 12th that the Reds lost to St. Louis 7-1. They were lower than whale dung. They fell to 20-26. 20-26. It was basically over. Now, here we sit about 13 days later, and they've gone 9-2 in their last 11 games. They got a 90% chance of making it to the playoffs. Why did that happen?
Honestly, in my opinion, they took advantage of facing the Pirates. When the Pirates rolled into town with the worst record in Major League Baseball, they swept that series, and it got their confidence back. They started to feel good about the players on this team. Obviously, they've had the pitching all along. The offense has been at least better. It hasn't been great, but it's been better. And once they got rolling after that sweep against Pittsburgh, I think they felt like they were a different team, and they played like it since.
And the Chicago White Sox, I think, was big. When they played them, they were perceived to be about the best team in the American League, at least this side of Tampa Bay. And they beat them 2-1, which gave them a lot of hope. And I think that helped quite a bit. And then to go to Minnesota, and to end Minnesota, you would have to think that the Reds are lined. Unfortunately, unfortunately in Minnesota, the Twinkies are lined up also. They have to win the game. But I'd like to think this is the beginning of a renaissance of this Reds franchise. They've never had a circumstance they've been this bad for this long. The last time they won a game in the won a series was 25 years ago, a quarter of a century. It's been, 30 years since they got to a World Series. And they've only had, in the last 20 years, they've had three winning records in 20 years. And there's never been a circumstance in Reds history over any 20-year period they've only had three winning seasons. And so I would anticipate this could be the start of something bigger than Montana.
Well, I hope you're right, Willie. Not only do they have that long streak going of not winning playoff series, but they have been horrible for the last 6 years. They've lost 90 or more games each of the last 6 years. So it's great to see them above 500 again. It looks like they're going to take advantage of the extra playoff teams this year, which is fine. I mean, it's been a weird season, a 60-game regular season. Under normal circumstances, they would be on the outside looking in, but I don't care. Let's get to the postseason, roll the dice, and see what happens.
Now, lastly, Deer Park, Madera, can you break that down? Mustangs versus the Wildcats. That's kind of the big game people are thinking about tonight.
You know what, Willie? If you have a question about the fifth defensive back for the Philadelphia Eagles or the third slot back for Army, I'm your guy. I've been doing a lot of homework about those two teams. But as for that Deer Park matchup, I'm afraid that I am totally in the dark on the specifics of that game. You'll have to fill me in.
Some were saying 2 weeks ago that David Bell was overmatched. Some were saying he looked like a young Dave Shula. Some were saying that we had David Bell, Zach Taylor, similar results. All of a sudden, I'll say this. I think his job was dangling by a thread about 2 weeks ago. And it was the thought, well, we got the third year yet. What do we do? And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, if they can win tonight, and that basically gets them into the playoffs, and then if Trevor Bauer and Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray can go out to Los Angeles and win 2 out of 3 there and come back, I mean, we're going to talk about something for years to come, because the Bell family from Buddy all the way down reminds me of the Crable family or the Wolf family or the Larkin family. They're like the best there is. And to have good things happen to good people is something that I enjoy in life. And there's nothing bad whatsoever about Buddy, David, and all the Bell family, the Larkin family, the Wolf family. I mean, it's just wonderful people. And I just like to see good things happen to good people. If 2 weeks ago the Reds will continue to be 6 games below 500 in fourth place, his job was hanging by a thread. Do you agree?
I do agree. I think it might have been looking pretty shaky there when they were 6 games under 500. But if they make the playoffs, I think it's pretty safe to say that he'll be back next year. And he's a guy I root for because he's such a good dude.
Good guy.
And let's remember something else, too, Willie. They're not necessarily going to play the Dodgers.
Right.
That's the team you don't want to play. I mean, they've got 6 more wins than any other team in the National League. They're winning 70% of their games. But right now, the Reds are not the last playoff seed in the National League. So they could wind up playing San Diego or Atlanta, which, you know, those teams are great too, but they're not nearly as good as the Dodgers. So if the Reds could take 2 out of 3 this weekend against the Twins, they probably avoid the Dodgers in round one.
And they still could win the division because the Cardinals have a ridiculous schedule. They play a doubleheader today. They flew from St. Louis to Milwaukee. They're playing a doubleheader in Milwaukee today. Then tonight they're going to fly back from Milwaukee back to St. Louis and play single games on Saturday and Sunday. Then if necessary, play 2 games, a doubleheader in Detroit on Monday. That is ridiculous. And the Reds have had days off, and they're ready to go. And the Reds can still win the division, in which case they go way up the ladder. And so the worst thing Segman was talking about, well, you know, what if they lose all 3 games? I said, Seg, quit talking like that. Let's not have any negative vibe going on, because to lose 3 games and not make the playoffs at all would be an intifada. And Segman thinks like that, but you and I don't. Dan Hoard, do you have any questions for me about sports or politics?
No questions, Willie, but just one quick clarification. They can't win the division. They could take one of the top two spots in the division, which is a different way to get into the playoffs and affects the seeding. But the Cubs are going to win the Central. The Reds are trying to leapfrog the Cardinals to get into that second spot, because the top two teams now in every division make the playoffs, in addition to the top 8 overall in the National League.
And so if you're a second-place team, so to speak, in the National League, how do you I guess 1, 2, and 3 will be the division winners. Then how do you determine who's 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, those are the second-place teams.
But who decides who's 4th, who's 5th, and who's 6th? Is it by percentage?
Based on the record. That's based on the record. Yeah, winning percentage, because some teams could have
a different
number of games.
All right.
Correct.
And then the rest of it are the 2 wild cards, not otherwise in the playoffs.
Correct.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I always ask you this question. I'll ask it one more time. Are you prepared?
I am prepared for the Bengals-Eagles on Sunday and for the Bearcats and Black Knights tomorrow.
Give me the final score.
Ready to go.
Knights v. Cats. Final score.
I think the Bearcats are going to win that game by about 11 points. How about 31-20 for a final score on that game?
Sheriff, write that down. How about Sunday, Eagles v. Bengals?
The Bengals take advantage of the Eagles' battered offensive line, missing three guys that were supposed to be starters going into the season. Randy Bullock atones for his week one miss that would have forced overtime and boots a game-winning field goal in front of no fans in Philadelphia as the Bengals come home with their first win of the Joe Burrow era, 24-23.
Wow. Write that down, Sheriff. Tonight, Reds v. Twinkies.
Tyler Malley gets the job done, and we are celebrating the return of postseason baseball with a little help in the National League as the Reds move closer to participating in the postseason.
Deer Park v. Madeira.
I will go with Deer Park, knowing where your loyalties
good.
Lie.
Good. All right, Dan Hook, good luck to you. Good luck to Dave Lapham. We'll see what happens on Sunday. And good luck to Jim Kelly. Good luck to the Cats.
Thanks, Willie. We'll take it.
And God bless America. Dan Hort, thank you very much. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, let's continue with more. Your comments, if any, 513-749-7000. Plus, I have ESPN's Mark Jones going to call the game tomorrow for the Cats against the Army. He said he vows to dismiss fire security detail at the football game tomorrow with UC at Nippert. He said, quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me. Police never saved me, never helped me, never protected me, never taken a bullet for me. So says ESPN's Mark Jones this morning. He's the ESPN broadcaster to do the game between Army and the Bearcats. And he will dismiss his security detail provided by the University of Cincinnati / Cincinnati Police because he does not want to be shot in Cincinnati. So says ESPN's Mark Jones. Want to get your reaction to that and so much more? Line becomes available, 749-7000. Bill Cunningham, News Radio, 700 WLW. All right, Billy Cunningham, the great American. After 1 o'clock today, we've scheduled the Honorable, the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson from the south side of Los Angeles to be a guest. After 2 o'clock, there's a good chance Jack Windsor will be here, who's the investigative reporter, who first sent me a video of a soccer mom in a high school stadium, which is, had a lot of, it wasn't a stadium, it was a high school field with some metal stands. And there was a security guard who came up to her. She wasn't wearing a mask. There was no one. She was sitting with two other kids and watching her daughter play soccer, high school, in rather sparsely occupied stands. And the security guard tased her because she did not have her mask on, and then arrested her. And it took a while, and it's on my Twitter account at Willie 700 WLW, if you'd like to look into that. But nonetheless, he also has those comments, plus the radicalization of what's happening in Columbus to some Democratic lawmakers and more, in addition to the radicalization of the UC game tomorrow, which I find incredible to think that a broadcaster for ESPN could, his name is Mark Jones, he vows to dismiss his security detail at the UC Army game tomorrow that ESPN has on. He posted on September the 23rd, which would have been on, Wednesday, quote, this is Mark Jones, ESPN broadcaster doing the game, quote, police never saved me, never helped me, never protected me, never taken a bullet for me. Never kept me safe in a protest. Never stopped the racists from taking my Black Lives Matter flag off my house. I could do without them. In another tweet, Jones vowed to go without security when he calls this weekend's college football matchup between Army and UC, saying, I quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me, unquote. Security is provided by Safety Director Whalen and or Chief of Police, Elliot Isaac. Maybe someone should tell Mark Jones that he need not fear any of the police officers at UC nor any of the officers with CPD, because the only way they would shoot somebody is in self-defense or thinking somehow someone's life has to be saved. When I can't imagine how ESPN keeps a person as a broadcaster when he will be unwelcomed in Cincinnati, when he says that the black police chief of the city of Cincinnati might kill him. That's what he said, quote, "I'd rather not have the officer shoot me." What? Is he saying the chief of police, Elliot Isaac, would kill another black man, Mark Jones? And then, of course, since he posted these ridiculous discriminatory slams against our community, numerous other memes have been put up relative to the number of times that ESPN's Mark Jones in the past was assisted by police, including when he lost his wallet or a valet case that they found it for him. And he's standing with Syracuse police officers, thanking them for saving him from the crowd or whatever it might be. So things have gotten completely out of whack and out of hand. In Louisville this morning, I'm watching CNN. I watch everything simultaneously in my bank of monitors. And the Jeff Ruby Steakhouse, according to media accounts, was vandalized last night in Louisville, along with the library and most of the buses. At this point, this is not a protest. If it was a protest, Fred Shuttlesworth style or Martin Luther King Jr. style, there's nonviolence. This is nothing but insurrectionist, arsonist, philanderers of every type, thieves and crooks who simply want to be something in their life, and the media covers it so they continue. What's their point at this point? There is no point. The point is mayhem. The point is arson. And if Mark Jones had engaged in the behavior of a Michael Brown or a George Floyd or a Jacob Blake, you might be concerned. If he was somehow dating somebody who had shot a police officer standing next to him, there's an opportunity you might be accidentally killed. If I stand next to someone who has shot a police officer and I'm like a foot away from that person, my life is at risk, because I would think the cops, even Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal admit to this, that if you're standing with somebody who shoots a police officer, the odds of return fire in your direction are pretty good and you might be shot. And that's Breonna Taylor. But we have whipped ourselves into such a froth anymore that ESPN's Mark Jones, from his cushy condominium in Connecticut, is coming to Cincinnati tomorrow saying that he will not have any security detail because he fears the security detail will murder ESPN's Mark Jones at Nippert. I've lost my mind when I think about what's going on. There's no further point to be made by violent riots in Louisville or many other major American cities conducted by a small number of people relative to the general population. It is riots. It is insurrection. It is U-Haul trucks handing out weapons, rolling around the country looking for the next demonstration. And, of course, they're all happening in Democratic cities. So we have lots of people on hold. Got to get to them. We have Gary, Bill, and Jim, and Chuck, and many others are shooting in Dayton. And the line becomes available, 749-7000. I want to share with you a brief timeline in Breonna Taylor's case to indicate that the police were justified in getting a warrant. When I watched Benjamin Crump this morning, who's a race hustler, who's become a millionaire by pandering to the worst instincts of other human beings. And I read something from George Clooney, the great American actor from this area, and he's completely lost his way, that it is not safe to sleep in America if you're a black woman who was murdered in bed, is what George Clooney said this morning about Breonna Taylor. So, you know, the facts don't matter. What actually occurred is irrelevant. Quickly fix in certain people's minds the narrative. Fix the narrative quickly in the mind. And then whatever the facts turn out to be later are irrelevant and immaterial, right? Completely ignore the facts. Going back in time just a little bit. December 30th, police execute 3 search warrants, seizing several guns and narcotics. Among the 6 people arrested is Jamarcus Glover, who is Breonna Taylor's former 2-year boyfriend. Using surveillance cameras, police see a white Chevrolet Impala pull up in front of the Breonna Taylor apartment complex. Glover gets out of the passenger side of the car, which is registered to, who owns the car? Breonna Taylor. Glover, the longtime boyfriend and drug dealer, is seen driving to Taylor's Springfield Drive apartment and walking inside without knocking. He simply walked inside. It continues. On March the 12th, which is the day before the incident, Detective Joshua Janes, an officer in the place-based investigation unit, requests five no-knock slash announce search warrants from Circuit Judge Mary Shaw for ongoing narcotics investigation. Jamarcus Glover is described as a major drug dealer importing PCP, heroin, and fentanyl into Louisville communities. 12:25 p.m., Shaw, who's the judge, Judge Shaw, signs off on the affidavits. 12:37 p.m., this is 12 hours before, judge signs off on the search warrant for Taylor's apartment. In the affidavit for the search warrant, the officer, Joshua Janes, who, by the way, is black, police officer, says Glover's car had made frequent trips to Breonna Taylor's Springfield Drive apartment, that Glover walked directly into Taylor's unit on January the 16th. A U.S. Postal inspector verified that Glover received packages at Breonna Taylor's apartment. Breonna Taylor had been seen in front of Elliott address on numerous occasions. The apartment's put under surveillance because of the knock and announce warrant coming up about 9 p.m. Taylor and her new boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, get home from dinner at a Texas Roadhouse, giving a friend's kids rides across town. It was Taylor's first night off after several consecutive days of 12-hour shifts as an ER technician. And approximately 10 o'clock, police are briefed on the entry plan for Taylor's apartment. 45 minutes before serving the warrant, Officer Mattingly said he drove by Taylor's apartment with another officer, Detective Mike Campbell, to keep an eye on the house. The only thing Campbell saw was watching Taylor's apartment, Mattingly said, was the light on the bedroom. The police based their opinion on the fact that it appeared that the boyfriend had left and that Taylor would be home alone. Inside the apartment, Taylor had fallen asleep as the movie Freedom Riders played, and Walker, and this came from Walker, said, I decided to stay the night, and I dozed off. At 12:40 a.m. on March 13th, here we go, 12:40 a.m. in the morning, officers were placed outside of Breonna Taylor's apartment, began to knock on the door. After a few knocks, Mattingly said they began to identify themselves as police. They shouted police. The knocking startles Taylor and Walker, according to Kenneth Walker. They get out of bed, and they begin yelling out, asking, who is it? Who is it? They didn't get a response. Walker has said that he had a fear that the former boyfriend, who was a well-known drug dealer, Breonna Taylor, was breaking into the apartment. So he had gotten a concealed carry permit. Now, Kentucky is an open carry state. You don't need a permit. But if you want to travel and carry the gun somewhere else, you have to have the permit to do that. About a minute of hearing no response from inside, police use a battering ram to knock in the front door. Walker said, I grabbed my gun. We both quickly put our clothes on and went to answer the door. They left the bedroom, had not made it down the hallway, which was darkened, before the door comes off the hinges. Walker said he fired one shot, still unable to see and unclear who was at the door. Mattingly and Detectives Cosgrove and Hankison returned fire. And Hankison then worked his way down the steps outside, and he shot through the plate glass window. Officers on scene called dispatch to report, officer down, officer down. He was shot in the groin area, and he was bleeding out. They returned fire to the direction in the darkened hallway where the flash was. Taylor was struck by the return fire. Walker, the boyfriend, calls 911 and says, somebody kicked in the door and shot my girlfriend. At this point, which was 5 minutes after the incident, he still did not know he'd shot a cop. And to his credit, Kenneth Walker, the boyfriend, calls 911. 10 miles away on Elliott Avenue, police have Glover, her ex-boyfriend, the main target of the narcotics investigation, and three of his associates in custody. Officers there seize drugs, guns, and cash from Jamarcus Glover. 1:10 a.m., police tell dispatch there's a woman inside the apartment. EMS has already been dispatched. They return with a second warrant. Inside, they find shell casings and bullets, but the police do not recover drugs or cash, though they do find mail addressed in the apartment to Jamarcus Glover. And it goes on from there. The Brianna was unresponsive, and of course, because of the nature of the shot that was fired, six of them into her body, she was dead within a few seconds and when the bullets entered her body. Those are the facts. And Charles Barkley said it, and Shaquille O'Neal said it. If you're standing next to someone who has just shot a police officer, you're accidentally could get shot. And Kenneth Walker believed that he was the subject of a home invasion, probably by Jamarcus Glover. So it was a mistake that Kenneth Walker shot the cop, and it was a mistake that the cops shot Breonna Walker. There was no grand conspiracy. There was no white supremacy. There was no white privilege. In fact, they didn't know the race of Kenneth Walker. They didn't know he was even there. It was a terrible accident. And accidents, believe it or not, in life happen. Talk to Michael Kern of Mueller High School. Accidents happen in life that nobody intends. But to hear Benjamin Crump this morning, it's all a grand conspiracy. It's all a horrible conspiracy involving Cincinnati police who now have been accused by ESPN's Mark Jones of wanting to kill him at Nippert Stadium tomorrow, along with the Los Angeles police, the Portland police, Minneapolis police, the Kenosha police, the New York, the Atlanta police, all controlled, by the way, by Democrats, voted into office by African Americans, that they're the ones with this grand conspiracy. No one can accept the idea or the fact that possibly mistakes and accidents happen. If you're standing next to someone who has just shot a police officer, you're in dangerous conditions. Well, let's continue. Thousands on hold, millions are listening, and I will get to your calls as I always do. 1255, the home of your Reds, News Radio 700 WLW. All right, Billy Cunningham, the great American. One of the great cities in our nation is Los Angeles. And what's going on there is at least illustrative of difficulties, whether it's Portland, Seattle, Cincinnati, Chicago. New York is a disaster. The longer liberal Democrats and Marxists run a city, the worse it becomes. And this morning on one of the morning shows, they had a cut of the homelessness and the smoke and the fires in Los Angeles. So I want to check with the main man, the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson in Los Angeles. And the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. And Reverend, how are you?
All is well, Bill. How you doing? Thanks again for having me on.
That's a great day here in the Midwest. I watched this morning some of the video out of Los Angeles that's been recorded the last several days after the Breonna Taylor non-decision, in which the one officer was charged with ancillary offenses and others. And Los Angeles was in big trouble because of COVID-19, the government shutdown, illegal immigration, homelessness, rampant crime, pollution everywhere. And so this morning's show dealt with what's happened to Los Angeles. So you're on the ground there. Describe the Los Angeles of today as opposed to the Los Angeles of maybe 20 years ago.
When I first moved here, Bill, back in 1968, it was paradise on earth. I literally thought I moved into paradise. It was so beautiful, opportunities everywhere, clean. It was the American way. And now, years later, it looked like a dump yard. As you mentioned, homelessness. There are homeless people everywhere. I have to continue, and my employees, we have to continue to run them away from building a junkyard around the office. They are trying to build an empty parking lot around us. We have to run them away. The homeless situation is a mess in L.A. Illegal aliens everywhere. I mean, and now they're fighting for free health care, free houses for illegal aliens. This Chinese virus situation, which I believe is only happening because They want President Trump out. That's why all this stuff is going on. They want to get rid of the great white hope, Donald Trump. It's not going to happen. They're really doing him a kind favor by causing all this misery because it's running people toward the president rather than away from him. And this fire situation is out of control. As a matter of fact, there are members of my organization who lives up north there near Sacramento, California, and their home was burned down the other day, and they had about 9 days ago had a brand new baby, and now they have to move and live in a hotel. So we're trying to help them as well get their home rebuilt. It's fire, and I'm not surprised by the fire because normally you do control burning. And when you do control burning, all these dry leaves and dead trees and dry bushes will not go out of control. So when a fire does come, it won't be as bad as it is here. But I don't think, Bill, that they have done control burning in California for the last 20 years or so, because they want to blame it on climate control or climate change, which is not real at all. It's just another way to raise taxes and control the people. But smoke and ashes from burning is everywhere.
Beirut might be unkind to Beirut. I had on an expert a few weeks ago that talked about the lawsuits that are filed. If L.A. or if California fire officials want to have a burn, they have to go and get a permit to do it. And then when that happens, dozens of lawsuits are filed because the environmental extremists find some snail darter fish, or they find a cockroach or some odd chipmunk or a rat whose habitat might be affected. And the judge quickly issues a temporary restraining order. You can't burn. And then when the Forestry Service wants to maybe erect and build roads into the wildernesses of California, that is stopped also because of the same reasons. And so when I look at California, I look at high confiscatory taxes. I look at massive pollution. I look at fires. I look at homelessness, which all the problems. There was a story on CBS Sunday Morning about several women had gotten together to put together a little block of entrepreneur shops. One woman was going to do nails, I guess eyebrows and whatever the hell eyebrows. I don't know what the hell that is. Another woman was going to do like hairdressing. Another woman was going to do like desserts. Another woman did like a restaurant. And they were somewhat passive. The homeless started coming to their area. So being liberals, what did they do? They provided free eyebrow waxing, and the next woman gave them free hairdos. The next woman gave them desserts. All of a sudden, they had hundreds of homeless. And they, when that involves drug use, fornication, yeah, urination, defecation, all the cations are going on. And then their businesses had to be shut down because they couldn't participate in the economic miracle happening. And then you throw on top of that COVID-19, you throw on top of that all the shutdowns ordered by Garcetti and by Newsom, and they can't function anymore. Now they want to leave. And so the fires are the final straw in which you can't breathe the air, you can't eat the food, you can't walk the sidewalks, you can't go anywhere. And as a consequence, people are leaving California and New York in droves. Now, Jesse Lee, have you thought about leaving and getting the hell out?
I have to honestly tell you, it crossed my mind the other day that maybe because we're looking to buy a new building for my company. They are turning this building into apartment buildings, supposedly. I don't know what's going to happen now. But for the first time, and since being out here, I thought maybe I should leave here. This place is a mess. Lots of businesses and a lot of folks have left California. So when you drive down the road now, it looks like a dead city when it comes to businesses, especially with this fake idea of Chinese virus hurting folks so you can't open up. And then we found out, Bill, that up in San Francisco area, they shut down the private gyms, right? Forced the gyms to shut down. Why the city gyms always been open. They never shut down that. So the government is working out, staying, keeping their bodies in order while everybody else is suffering. And so a lot of businesses have left California. And then we have this mob justice. It's not justice at all happening. And a lot of people are afraid to open back up because these people are destroying buildings. They went all the way up to Beverly Hills, and I was surprised that they were allowed to get into Beverly Hills. So a lot of people are afraid. I just don't know right now. I'm just waiting to see. I may have to leave here as well.
Well, I may go back to Alabama. This morning, Benjamin Crump was all over the place. He's become a multi-millionaire attorney. And it reminds me of the wise words of Booker T. Washington. Now, I know you're somewhat old, but not that old. But Booker T. Washington said the following. I'm going to quote his words from 1911. Booker T. Washington said, quote, "There's a class of colored people who make a business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they're able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partially because they want sympathy and partly because it pays lots of money to them. Some of these people do not want the Negro to lose his grievances because they do not want to lose their jobs," quote unquote. That's as true in 1911 as it is in 2020.
They need to send Benjamin Crump back to his country, wherever he came from. He is a race hustler. He made Al Sharpton look like a nice guy. And we know that Al Sharpton is the worst of the worst. He and Jesse Jackson are those guys. But Benjamin Crump is using people with no pain at all. It's amazing. I am now saying that black Americans have been set up to destroy. Black folks, and not all, but most are being used for destruction rather than build. They're using black people. When you want abortion, you go get the black people. When you want radical homosexuality to flourish forward, you get the blacks. When you want to destroy a city or a town or a country, you get black people. When you want to sue on a false assumption of police brutality and all that crap, you get black people. Black people have been set up for destruction. They are on the earth now to be used for destruction rather than building. And what Benjamin Crump is doing to black America is a shame. It's evil. But I can't totally blame him, because these are adult black people. They need to take responsibility for themselves. They need to wake up and realize that they are being used for personal gain rather than showing love to these folks. It's a shame what Benjamin Crump is doing. Even I just saw the news this morning where over in Knoxville, where it's been proven that the cops did nothing wrong. Benjamin Crump is now saying, oh, we need to see the justice.
The grand jury transcripts.
We need, for what? We need to see. It's just to keep the blacks angry and manipulating them to use them for personal gain. Somebody need to ship him back or have him arrested. He is a no good, evil man. And it's a shame that the blacks can't see it. I'm blown away. I've been saying for years, Bill, and you've heard me, that black people are suffering not because of this phony idea of racism or slavery or Jim Crow or white supremacists or white privilege and systemic racism. Black people are suffering due to the lack of moral character, due to the lack of families. They need families. They need to return to God. Most black people don't even believe in God today. Even those that are running churches, the preachers and others, they don't believe in God. If they did, they would be denouncing all of this destruction that blacks are doing and allowed to be used to doing. They're not on the side of good. They hate white people, and they're manipulating white people because they want money and they want power. Now, Bill, long story short, then I'll let you get in. You know, I've been saying that white people need to speak up. Otherwise, we're going to have South Africa in America, where the blacks have taken over South Africa. They have destroyed the police departments over there. They are killing and robbing and raping white people. They are now going and they're taking the land of white people without compensation in South Africa. Bill, the land thing is coming next year. They have replaced all the black angry women as mayors and governors and politicians in America, and now they're talking about reparations. The far left liberal, hateful, fat black lesbian organization called Black Lives Matter, who hate God, who hate the nuclear family, who hate the unborn children, they are now going into white community telling the white folks, this is our land, you got to get out, give us back our place.
Get out.
They're going to take the land from the white people.
You know, lastly, Reverend Jesse Lee, about 2 or 3 years ago, I had on a man who I greatly respect. That's Thomas Sowell. a wonderful person. He said it was the plan of the Democrats for the slaves for two main areas. Number one, keep the slave ignorant with no education. And number two, don't let slaves be in a family. He said, when I look ahead 150 years from when the Democrats owned the slaves, 150 years later, the Democrats are doing two things. Lousy, non-attendable public school systems in Los Angeles, Chicago, Cincinnati, New York. Number two, no family formation. He said that is the recipe to have a group of people beholding to the policies of the Democrats as opposed to freedom-loving Americans. So what he said, what Thomas Sowell said, related to the slaves 150 years ago. When I look at the major cities, you're in Los Angeles, I'm in Cincinnati. In Los Angeles, given a choice, no parent would send their child to the Los Angeles County public school system to be educated. No parent would send their kid to Chicago public schools, Detroit, Cincinnati, New York public schools. And secondly, the abortion mills, the Planned Parenthoods, are put inside the black community. And it is difficult. Many black churches seldom have weddings because they're so many black folks are not getting married. So the policies of slavery are the policies of Democrats today. That's what Thomas Sowell said.
As a matter of fact, Bill, if I had to choose a choice of slavery, I would prefer physical slavery over mental slavery, because the slaves in slavery today done by the Democratic Party, it has destroyed the mindset and character of the black people. And when you could demoralize a person or a people, you can control them. And that's what's happening to black people. They have been brainwashed, demoralized, and dumbed down. I'm hoping that public schools never open up again. They have brainwashed the kids. It's even worse than what we can imagine. These folks are tearing down statues and monuments and destroying flags and destroying their own country under the pretense of slavery or racism and thinking somehow or another that's going to make them better. It's only going to make them worse. And another point I want to make, I never imagined, Bill, that one day in America there would be an organization called Black Lives Matter that was founded by a bunch of fat, black, radical lesbians who hate God, who hate the country, who hate the unborn children, who hate white people. That white people, the military, there are people in the military, in the police department, and white churches are bowing down to a bunch of fat, black, radical lesbians. I never imagined seeing that in America. And then black people supporting it as though they believe it's real. We got to return to God. We got to return to family. We got to take our country back. And that's why I say four more years for the great white hope, Donald Trump, because they want Donald Trump out the way. If they can get rid of him, America will become a socialist communist society overnight, because it is about controlling the people. So it's time for all of us to wake up and re-elect the president for another 4 years and make America great again. Otherwise, there's nowhere else to go.
Jesse Lee Peterson, how do the American people get a hold of you? And you would be welcome in the Midwest. Maybe go back to Alabama between the fires, the homelessness, the pollution, the blaming others for Democratic failures, liberal failures, the rampant crime, the lawlessness, the PCP, the fentanyl, the waste of tons every day that flow into the Pacific Ocean because of the 100,000 homeless on the streets of Los Angeles. And on top of that, the taxes, the fires, the no jobs, the schools are shut down. Hell, the schools in L.A. may never open.
And I hope not.
How do the American people get a hold of you?
They could go to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com, or call 800-411-2663, 800-411-BOND, or RebuildingTheMan.com, JesseLeePeterson.com, all kind of ways to get in contact. We've been doing this for 30 years, rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man, bringing back God's order. It's a spiritual battle, Bill, not a physical one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and wickedness in high places. It's either right or wrong. It has nothing to do with racism or slavery or any of that. It's all spiritual. So check us out at RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-2663. 2663.
Jesse, thank you. There's a lot of wickedness, and I see it on television every day, every night.
Yes.
Jesse Lee, you're a great American. Once again, thank you for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show, and get out of Los Angeles as fast as you can. Get out.
I will, Bill. God bless you. You're a great American as well, and thank you for helping us get the truth out there.
God bless you. Let's continue with more. Thank you, Jesse. Well, let's continue. Bill Cunningham, the great American, with you every day in your home of the Reds. Hopefully tonight they clinch it all on News Radio 700 WLW.org.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Softball, you bonehead. Oh, right, guys.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Frail and elderly, who's still home. He cannot campaign because he can't walk and talk and think simultaneously. And now he wants to become, he's leading in all the polls, including Ohio, to become our next president. And he cannot say the star, he can't sing the Star Spangled Banner. He cannot recite at all the Pledge of Allegiance. Have you heard him try to say the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Pledge of Allegiance.
I realized on the microphone, but I had no idea it was that sensitive.
And they're hiding, and the media is conducting the campaign for him. The
right.
Media is the Trump camp is the campaign against Trump for Joe Biden.
Right.
So the media is Biden's campaign.
Yep.
And he's again is out of the campaign. He's in his basement. He's not coming back out until Tuesday. Which will
they
be
go
the
to
biggest,
Cleveland, right?
Yeah, the Cleveland Clinic. It'll be the biggest audience for a debate.
Oh.
Watching Joe Biden, they better pump him full of something. Because he's going to stand next to the Great White Hope, according to Jesse Lee Peterson, and respond. And the media is the campaign for Joe Biden. And no one in the media said, no, wait a minute, where's Joe? He's frail and elderly, but where is he? The fact is, he's nowhere. Segment, what are your responses? ESPN's Mark Jones, the main broadcaster tomorrow with the Bearcats.
I heard you earlier on that. That's unbelievable. I mean, that is truly unreal. He got thrown out of a game or something a few years ago saying something against a player or something like that. I'm thinking, how does he get away with this? ESPN is like, ESPN's got to do something.
He's accusing Chief of Police Elliot Isaac in Cincinnati of wanting to kill him.
He hadn't done anything.
If you
don't do anything, they're not going to hurt you, right?
Does he know Elliot Isaac is black?
Probably not.
According to Mark Jones
of
ESPN,
maybe the police chief ought to show up at Nippert Stadium tomorrow about 3:30.
He's going to dismiss his security detail in Cincinnati, quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me. He also says police never saved me, never helped me, never protected me, never taken a bullet for me, never kept me safe in a protest. ESPN's
when did
Mark
he protest?
I don't know. I have no
in
idea.
Bristol, Connecticut?
Saturday at my football game, I'm going to tell the police officer on duty to protect me so he can just take the day off. I'd rather not have the officer shoot me because he feared for his life because of my black skin.
I don't know what color he is.
Does anyone know?
He's insane.
That Chief Isaac is black?
He ought to be taken off that game immediately. If I was ESPN, that'd be it.
How about accusing...
He does a lot of NBA stuff.
Without knowing his race...
Right.
This guy's accusing our police chief of being a racist, wanting to kill him because of his black skin. Someone's got to tell this clown, Mark Jones, that Elliot Isaac is black. But he says, quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me because he feared for his life because of my black skin.
Willie, the astute reporter, is a proud service of your local Tempstar heating and air conditioning dealers. Tempstar, quality you can feel in southeastern Indiana. Call Joe Eckstein. Eckstein Heating and Cooling at 812-932-2026.
Sports!
We live in difficult times, segment.
That's for sure, Willie. Reds and Twins tonight, Willie, and the start of the playoff push. Coverage begins, Lance, 6:10 with Sports Talk. A little after 7:10 with the Arnell Carrier's Inside Pitch. Kelsey Chevrolet Extra Inning Show
after the game.
Tyler Malley goes for the Reds tonight And the Twins go with a young pitcher, Jose Berrios.
Who? You've got to pull your stick out.
Pull your stick out, Seg.
Oh, I can't. The Reds' magic number, 2 or 3. Cincinnati owning the tiebreaker now over the Brewers, Phillies, and Giants. That's because San Francisco got beat yesterday. So it looks like now, according to Bobby Nightingale, of the fine beat writer of the Reds, they need a win against the Twins plus 2 of the following.
Wait a minute. Now, let me get this straight. So the Reds win tonight. What about this? Okay. What about this yuck guy? What does he say?
If the Reds win tonight.
Reds win.
Okay. 2 of the following has to happen.
2 of the following. Just 2.
Correct. Phillies lose.
That's likely. They're playing at Tampa.
Brewers loss. They got a doubleheader against St. Louis today.
At home.
2 losses in the doubleheader of the Giants to the Padres.
That's likely not happen.
So they got Mally tonight, Castillo tomorrow.
You want to hear the Star Spangled? Here it is.
The United States of America. One nation. Indivisible under God, for real.
Thank you, Joe.
Unbelievable.
A third grader can say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Correct.
Joe Biden doesn't know anything about the Declaration, the Constitution, or the Pledge of Allegiance.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
That's what I'm trying to think about.
I can't. For real.
Now, the Reds have this, but the Twins now.
Oh, wait a minute. They're
in a race.
Here we go.
They lead the AL Central by a game over the White Sox, 2 over the Indians.
So what do the Twinkies have to do?
They just got to win. Somebody's got to win, and you know. So I don't know. Who knows? We'll just see what happens.
Why don't we watch, listen to the game and see what happens?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
That's fine.
Let's just, hopefully the Reds win.
There's 9 million scenarios to this. I don't either.
You said yesterday that if the Brew Crew goes 3-2,
right,
they are in. But if they go 2-3, then they got a sweep. I'm thinking that doesn't make any sense at all. Why don't you get all that yuck? What's that guy's name? Pup Luck? What's his name?
What?
Yuck. Joe Luck? What's his name?
You mean Joe Luckup?
That's him.
Yeah, he's at Fox Sports Ohio.
Who the hell's that guy?
He's the statistician extraordinaire.
Let's get him on. Joe
Fox Sports Ohio.
If Joe Luck knows the hotline, jeez. Joe, call the hotline. Yuck.
How about Fitzy last night?
Oh, my God.
I tell you one thing. The Bengals win Sunday. They better beat up. When the Jags come here, they better beat them up instead of that Minshew guy beating them.
Sandy Manning says Indians fans should be rooting for the Reds. But the Indians aren't relevant to the Reds at this point, correct?
No.
That's not in your scenario.
No, don't get me confused. I got enough problems with the National League. I don't give a you-know-what about the American. Bengals quarterback, the former Bengals quarterback became the first NFL player since at least 1950 last night to record at least one victory for 6 different teams against a single opponent.
That's irrelevant.
So this guy owns
Fitzy.
The Jags. He defeated the Jaguars as a member of the Dolphins, Bengals, Bills, Titans, Texans, and Jets.
Let's hear from Joe Biden.
America, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation. Indivisible under God, for real.
Please continue.
Bengals and the Eagles Sunday in Philly. Willie, best Bengals coverage, 9 a.m. RNL Carriers pregame sports talk presented by your local Toyota dealers. Countdown to kickoff, 11:30. Action also on 102.7 WEBN, the home of the hits, and ESPN 1530, the home of Tony Pike.
I saw Kid Chris's wife in the hallway.
Yeah?
She goes through a lot with that man.
High school football.
How about the big one?
Action all around
the
tri-state
tonight.
Now, wait a minute.
Deer Park.
Brought to you by Cincinnati Children's Sports Medicine and Orthopedics at 6 on ESPN 1530, Fox Sports 1360. That'll be followed by St. X and Moeller.
Hold on.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation. Indivisible under God, for real.
Thank you, Joe. Please continue.
Also tonight, Tangs v. Cats.
Where's the game being played?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
It's at Deer Park, fool.
Okay, well, I'm just saying it.
But I'm not sure anybody can go. Well, it's one of those deals, I think.
Coleraine's at Sycamore, Middletown at Princeton, Madison at Northridge. Covecath takes on Cooper. East Central up against South Dearborn.
What about Simon Kenton?
They play too.
All right, good.
They play, let me see here. I got it right here.
Hold on a minute.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation. Indivisible, under God, for real.
Please continue.
Johnson Central plays at Simon Kenton. I have no idea where Johnson Central's is.
Johnson Central sounds like a pharmacy.
College football tomorrow. Army in the triple option takes on the Cincinnati Bearcats, 3:30.
Mark Jones, be careful.
WLW.
Our chief of police may want to kill you because of the color of your skin. Now, be careful, okay? Mark Jones, ESPN, be careful now.
Sean Williams, will he back to the Bengals? He's going to play. He hasn't played all year long, but Sean Williams is going to play.
That's a
Mike Daniels is going to play, but Gino hurt in that September 3rd scrimmage with his shoulder, took part in drills. He's not going to play Sunday in Philly. He's feeling better, but not yet ready. You got all those Biden cuts on your phone?
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation. Indivisible, under God, for real.
What do? You play those during at home or something?
If I have a lucid moment.
You just turned on your Joe Biden app?
In which I speak to maybe a Democrat to vote for this guy.
Oh,
say,
I see. Okay.
Do you
we know these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
Please continue.
The Pac-12 is reverse course. They're going to start playing November 6th. Looks like the Mid-American Conference is going to do the same thing over the weekend.
Five or six games, something like that?
Correct. Miami Redhawks and the OU Bobcats.
What about the red scenario? What about that yup guy?
I have no idea. MLS FC Cincinnati at New York and New York City FC tomorrow night. Now the SEC is going to play 18 games in basketball. So what does this mean for a couple of big games now? If UC and Xavier's got to pare down their schedule, UC and Xavier play? Does Louisville and Kentucky play?
Doubt it. I think they're just going to play conference, right?
So, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I know one thing.
Yeah?
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation. Indivisible, under God, for real.
Thank you, Joe. Sega's at it in sports.
I think so.
All right, let's continue. We have calls from Centerville and Dayton and thousands of other locations. And after 2:35, 2:40 today, under the leadership of Sheriff Dave, we may go to the legendary fast break.
To let I tell you what, I heard it yesterday with Rocky Boyman.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
You know, and I tell you what,
intelligence.
Yes.
The mental acuities.
They
of
were
my
on
listeners,
point yesterday.
Unmatched.
Correct.
My people are really unmatched.
Hey, that's for sure.
Segman.
Willie,
everyone, get ready.
Not
allegiance to the United States of America. One nation, indivisible, under God, for real.
Thank you, Joe. Segment, get me out of the Stooge report.
Willie, in honor of a beautiful Friday and weekend ahead, and go Reds.
Gorgeous. Now tonight, they win. You got this and that. What if they lose tonight?
Well, then
they still win, right?
Well, they could.
By losing, you win. By winning, you win.
If they get in, they'll be the seventh seed, and they'll play. They'll go to Atlanta to play the Braves.
So if they win, they're in.
You don't want
if they lose,
with the
they're
Dodgers.
In. You say win, they're in. They lose, they're in. But it's only if San Francisco loses two,
and the Phillies lose
two,
right?
And then
and the Brewers lose.
Brewers lose,
right?
And St. Louis loses, and
right.
The Cubs lose,
and then
and the
Cleveland
Indians
loses,
and then the Yankees win, and the Reds are in.
And then the Angels win.
I got
but
it.
The Yankees lose.
I got it.
Right. And the Braves lose, and the Marlins win.
And
that's how they're going to get in.
ESPN Mark Jones fears getting shot by a black man, cop. That's discrimination per se. He opposes what he seeks to stop. Segment, don't get me started on this craziness. Get me out of the Stooge report.
Willie, in honor of a beautiful Friday, as I said, and a weekend ahead, and go Bengals and go Reds.
And go Park.
Go Park.
And go UC, beat Army.
Watch that triple option, though.
Watch out for those black guys with guns with badges. You got to be careful.
We leave you with the immortal words of the Stooge Report.
So is the problem that... Wow, going through puberty here.
Scott Sloan is going through puberty. He's got two kids already. Maybe it was artificial.
Maybe he's reversing course.
Maybe going backwards. Maybe going the other direction. A little cross-gender deal going on. Take those shots, Scott.
What the?
Take those shots.
Him? A woman?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know. He told me one other time about having the top of a woman, the bottom of a man. He said that'd be the best of all worlds. And I'm thinking, I don't know about that, Scott Sloan. But he wants the top of a woman, the bottom of a man. He said, I'm perfect. So maybe he's going to get the shots.
That's one weird dude.
Let's continue with more. But on the other hand, can you imagine the ratings and revenues when Joe Biden's the president? Can you imagine?
Oh, he'll go berserk.
The country will collapse.
Correct.
On 700 WLW.
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round. They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, leave this one alone. She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Now let's get at it now. We have Jim in Dayton, and then we have Bill in Centerville, the home of the Elks. And we've had full lines packed and stacked all day, and I had a guest scheduled for about 2:08 that did not materialize. So it's your time to probe my mind as I probe yours. And we have three lines open, 513-749-7000. Simply pound on 700, the new AT&T, and you'll get right in. And let's get the calls and continue with life. So many great. I'm so happy to be an American. I'm so pleased to live in the tri-state. Small town communities along with a big town feel. And very happy to be here, whether it's Brookville, Indiana, which is fabulous, or whether it's Connersville, Indiana, which is even better, or whether it's Bethel or Taylor Mill or Covington or Cincinnati or Mason, you and I together in this great American experiment. I had a call a couple days ago from a person, I didn't know him, of course, called me from Claremont County on the air and said these are difficult times, and he said, I'm concerned about whether my country will survive. And I told him, yes, we will survive. The worst things have happened to America, and we're going to be okay, but we have to pick the right political leadership. We have to make the right decisions. And as far as the president is concerned, I have great personal affection for him. His policies work. Like you, like many, I wish at times he would calm it down when it comes to Twitter and personal insults. However, the most important thing to me is whether the policies work, whether his Supreme Court and federal judge picks are constitutional conservatives, whether he allows the American people, by keeping more of their own money, to build their own lives the way that they want to build their lives, whether you have a functional family unit, that is, a mom and a dad, or other functional family units that obey the law and work hard, work smart, and contribute. I gave a little talk last night and one before, which I don't like doing a lot because I'm on the air, you know, 18 hours a week, and I've all spoken out. So when I appear in Connersville or in other locales, it's unusual because I figure I say all that I can say. I had several years ago on Cardinal Dolan of New York City. He'd written a book. This was just after the selection of the newest Pope, Francis. And we had a few minutes to talk off the air. And he asked me something that kind of stopped me on a dime. And he said, Bill, are you leading a useful life? I said, well, Cardinal, I think I am. He said, if you have an advantage, if you have an opportunity, if you have a circumstance in your life when you can relieve the suffering or helping others live a better life, and you don't take advantage of that opportunity, he said, that would be useless. And I thought, I said, you know, and then he came on the air, talked about his book. There are times in our life where you help others, and therefore your life becomes relevant. And it could be in a small scale. It could be a mom staying home to care for an ailing child with an intractable medical condition. Or it could be a son or a daughter in their 50s or 60s, giving up a lot of their life to stay at home to care for an ailing parent in their 80s or 90s. Or it could be something large, such as serving in public office in one sense or another. So if you have a chance to alleviate the suffering of others, and you don't take that chance, that to me would be a worthless life. So, my guest is calling in now, as I anticipated, the Honorable Jack Windsor from WMFD in Mansfield, Ohio, who just attended a funeral, I think. And Jack, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. Jack, how are you?
Bill Cunningham, great American. I'm super fantastic. Thank you for inviting me in.
You sent me 2 or 3 days ago a video of a soccer mom in the stands of a, looked to be like a grade school or maybe a high school event where her daughter was playing soccer, was tased by a police officer and arrested for not wearing a mask. Explain.
So Alicia Kitts is from Marietta. And she drove about an hour and 15 minutes to watch. It was actually her son's football game. It was a middle school football game. And my understanding is when she entered the stadium, she was told that masks were required. And she said, well, I have asthma, so I have an exemption. And the person taking the money for the ticket said, oh, okay, well, I'm just required to tell you that. So somewhere between the first and second quarter, she is approached by a school resource officer who tells her that she's going to have to put on a mask or leave, and she refuses to. She doesn't get violent, but she says, no, I'm not putting a mask on. I have an exemption. So at the heart of the issue is, you know, was she breaking a law? The city of Logan, the Logan Police Department, they indicated initially that they were going to charge her with criminal trespass because they said that she was breaking a school rule. However, it does not appear that any school rule for mandatory masking was posted on the website or written. It may have been conveyed over the PA system. But something that's really interesting, the state's recommendations for sports that came down, they indicate that you have to mask with the exception of any exemptions in the July 23rd state masking order. Well, in that order, it indicates that if you have a medical condition, you are exempt. It also states that if you are outside and you can be greater than 6 feet away from people who are not in your family, then you are exempt. And it seems that she's doing both. So her attorney, Maurice Thompson, released a statement today and said that the law was misapplied by the school and that she obviously didn't break a law. And so there's no criminal trespass and that the law was totally misapplied. And he goes on to say haphazardly and violently.
And when I watched the video, it wasn't an easy arrest. It was obvious. It was obvious that there was no danger to some other party. This woman was watching, I guess, a middle school football game. Her kid had to be, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and she appeared to be 30, 35 years old, doing nothing, harming nobody. And this, was it a cop or a security guard? Do you know?
My understanding is that he is with the Logan Police Department, and he's assigned as a school resource officer to the school district. And, you know, that's the other part of it. I'm just injecting my opinion here. It's really unfortunate that he was placed in that position by the school. And frankly, if Governor DeWine said, you know, back when Amy Akin was getting a ton of flack, the buck stops with me. Well, indeed, the buck does stop with him. Because let's not forget, he vetoed Senate Bill 55, which would have eliminated any of this. It would have not made any violation of the order criminal and, you know, without fines on the first offense. But I feel for the school resource officer. Now, my understanding is he's somebody that's been fair and very well liked. But obviously this went awry.
And so the son playing a middle school football game is watching his mother get tased and arrested in the stands.
Yes.
For not wearing a mask.
For not wearing a mask. And, you know, they've tried to go circular with that and say, well, it wasn't because she was not wearing a mask. It was because she refused to comply, and therefore, you know, it was criminal trespass. Well, she was actually honoring the state order, and the state order as it is applied to, you know, sports regulations set up by the governor and the Ohio Department of Health. And let's be real, it wouldn't have been an issue if she would have had a mask on, but she's sitting there saying, I have an exemption. I don't need the mask.
And so he didn't say, well, do you have some paper? Do you have some, well, how do I know this? But the other thing you do, you don't arrest a mother and tase a mom and put handcuffs on her and haul her away at a middle school football game for not wearing a mask. You don't do that when you got thousands of individuals marching around city streets with incendiary devices in their hands, beating people in Louisville and in Columbus and Cincinnati, walking down the middle of Vine Street without a permit. You have massive lawlessness going on. Well, that's okay. But if a mom wants to watch her son play football, she gets tased and gets arrested.
Well, you know what else is okay? And I'm sorry to go barking up this tree, but it's not very far back. I think it was Monday. The lieutenant governor was in Vandalia, and he is seen in the crowd, not socially distanced, not wearing a mask, and shaking hands. So, you know, it's either equal protection under the law or it isn't. And in this case, Ms. Kitts explained to the policy officer and administrators that she has asthma. They ignored her. And their position was that an unmasked asthmatic must leave the city. And it's not consistent with any directive or other law.
So it was all illegal. Maurice Thompson, I've had him on a few times. I guess he's suing everybody at this point, and this mother's going to get damages.
She's probably, you know, I'm not an attorney, but it's pretty damning at this point, Bill. I look at it, and again, I feel for everybody. I get it. The school is saying, hey, we want you to follow the rules because our kids have been through enough. We want them to have a season. You know, the resource officer gets put in there. And then here, mom says, wait a minute, I have an exemption. So, you know, it's a really bad situation, and I'm going to go back to this. If the buck stops with the governor, the buck stops with the governor. And again, Senate Bill 55 was vetoed. That would have made stuff like this, it wouldn't have happened. It just wouldn't have happened.
All right, now, secondly, there's a statement issued by the president of Ohio State University, right?
Yeah.
Ohio State. This isn't the president of Student Council or the Black Student Union. This is the president of Ohio State University. I've never met the woman. Her name is Christina Johnson, ignited a controversy. She said the following, quote, this is the president of the Ohio State University, quote, Breonna Taylor deserves justice, and this does not feel like justice. We cannot accept what has happened in Louisville. We grieve the tragic and senseless loss of Breonna Taylor, a daughter, a friend, a niece, a loved one, who was unarmed and asleep. The breakdown in the justice system and the killings of unarmed black and brown people in our country has become all too familiar tragically. This isn't going to stop until we create an anti-racist world. We must come together to draw strength from each other and advance our collective wisdom for a better world where we'll one day have justice for all. There's so much work to be done, quote unquote. Well, number one, it states that she was killed while sleeping, which is false. She also says that unarmed black and brown people are being killed all the time in our country, which is false. What's been the fallout from the president of Ohio State University acting in a left-wing Marxist, fraudulent, false way?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I will agree with her in the fact that it is tragic that Breonna Taylor, you know, a daughter, a friend, a niece, a loved one lost her life. It is tragic. But again, you're in a position as the president of a university, and if you're going to make a statement, she made that statement on Twitter. She also released a text message that went out to the entire student body that was similar, if not exact. And so I would say, number one, get the facts straight, because it's super important when you're in that position, people are relying on you. Let them have all of the information, and it appears that she didn't. So that's number one. And then number two, you know, it's been overwhelming. A majority of people who responded on Twitter are very unhappy with the statement. Some have gone so far to call for her resignation. And then others are saying, you know, they won't be sending their kids to Ohio State. But obviously there is a very large group of people as well who feel the same way, that there is, what they would call institutional racism, and, you know, that permeates our law enforcement and, you know, our entire culture. And I think they're happy with the statement, but there has been fallout on Twitter and social media. There hasn't been anything done that I'm aware of as of, what is it, 2:20 on Friday, the 25th of September, regarding her statement.
Well, the facts are different. Washington Post, Michigan State, Harvard, University of Maryland, Department of Justice have studied this issue for years. It is absolutely true that there's about 1,000 Americans killed every year by police. Out of 50 million contacts a year, 50 million, 1,000 result in someone's death. Of that 1,000, 50% are white, 25% are black, the other 25% are others. And as far as disputed shootings, it's single digits, 5, 6, 7, 8, a very, 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 very small number. So the facts are wrong. And to say, I'll give you another example. Cincinnati tomorrow, we're having a football game here, not nearly as big as Ohio State normally plays, but Army, the United States Army, is going to play the Bearcats of UC at Nippert Stadium tomorrow, I think about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. ESPN's Mark Jones, who's one of their main play-by-play broadcasters, said, quote, he's going to dismiss any police to protect him, quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me. I'd rather not have the officer shoot me because he feared for his life because of my black skin. Mark Jones went on to say, ESPN, police never saved me, never helped me, never protected me, never taken a bullet for me, never kept me safe, never stopped racists from taking my Black Lives Matter flag off my house. I can do without them. He doesn't know that the police chief in Cincinnati is black. His predecessor was black, and the guy before that was black. And so he's essentially saying that police chief Elliot Isaac, he fears being killed by Elliot Isaac because of the color of his skin. What will ESPN do about this?
Not a darn thing.
No.
Not a darn thing.
No.
I mean,
no.
You know, we saw Kirk Herbstreit, I think a couple of weeks back, you know, making very similar comments.
They're not true. They're provably false, but it doesn't matter if it's true or false. What matters are my feelings by watching the media. It is provably false that there's not an open season on unarmed black men. It is a lie.
Well, but here's the issue with it, Bill, and you get this. The minute that you stand up and say that, one, you are categorized and labeled as racist and part of the problem or blind to, you know, the institutional racism. And I have a hard time with that. If you can't see it, right, then show me the information that proves it. And in the absence of that information, what am I supposed to believe? You know, back to Christina Johnson, I think the thing that's really disappointing about her statement is that Ohio State University is downtown Columbus, near downtown. And, you know, this is literally in the wake of the ruling in Louisville. And there were people lining up to protest in downtown Columbus. I just think that there would have been some more common sense in, one, releasing it, and two, making sure the information was correct, and three, maybe pressing pause and sitting back and going, hey, you know, is this going to help or is this going to hurt? Now, even if she thinks the message is right, in that instant, does it help?
No.
And
no,
it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't pass either of those tests. So that's the disappointing part.
Well, lastly, I would say this, Jack. If I stand next to someone in the dark who just shot a police officer, I'm in a dangerous position, and I may accidentally be killed. The officer was shot by someone who didn't think he was a cop, and the officer shot someone who should not have been shot. But the circumstances are called an accident. Accidents happen in life. Well, Jack, we got to run. Thanks for calling in, and good luck, and may you have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. You're a great American. Thank you, Bill.
God bless you. Let's continue. All right. On the other side, under the leadership of Sheriff Dave, I'm going to go to the fast break. Let every voice be heard. I've taken no calls today, which is very common, but after 2:30, the fast break will be alive on News Radio 700 WLW.
Hello.
Numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Go for you, bonehead.
Oh, my guys.
All right, the fast break is underway now with Ted McKay. I'm going to make one or two more fungent remarks, then turn everything over to you and go with the fast break. Number one, everywhere I look, similar to 2016, Trump cannot win. He's down in Ohio. He's down in Pennsylvania. He's down in Florida. We know what happened. He won. And so last time in 2016, there was a new candidate, in a sense, had never run before for high political office as far as being a female, Hillary Clinton, that was going to win. So there was a historical candidacy in which many women voted for Hillary Clinton because she was a woman. That happens, believe it or not. That's not the case this time. Joe Biden is old and frail. Can't talk, can't think. That's why he's not campaigning. Unbelievable. When was the last time, at least in the last 100 years. We've had a candidate for the presidency who doesn't campaign because he can't. He's too old and frail. Secondly, before I go to the calls, thousands are on hold. Secondly, do you mean to tell me ESPN's Mark Jones, who said he's going to dismiss his security detail at tomorrow's football game between the Bearcats and Army, the Knights, because, quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me. He said, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me because he feared for his life because of my black skin. That's ESPN's Mark Jones. On that front, you mean to tell me that African-American folks that love me and I love them are so stupid they constantly put into political power the Democratic Party in the major cities knowing the Democrats are hurting them? Does anyone really think Democratic voters are stupid? I know I don't. But that's the Democratic argument, that the cities are boiling over with racial animosities and white privilege and white supremacy and all the rest imposed by Democrats like P.G. Sittenfeld and like Lori Lightfoot or Wheeler or Ted Wheeler or Garcetti or de Blasio, all Democrats. They're kept in power by black folks so that the government structure in the cities can oppress them. When was the last time in Louisville there was a Republican governor? The answer is 60 years ago. So the black folks in Louisville vote for Democrats to run the police department so as to keep the oppression continuing. Does anyone believe that? Not just no. The answer is hell no. Now, lastly, before I go to the calls, looking to my left, Portland is now in their 120th consecutive day of protest. That are riots. A riot's an organized gathering in order to impose violence. It is absolute violent protest and riots. That's what it is. There's no police department in America created, coined, and configured among 12-hour days, 7 days a week, with rioters who shoot police, stab police, use lasers in their eyes, and try to kill cops and burn down buildings. That is not a protest. Talk to Fred Shuttlesworth about that. That is a riot. Portland will not shut it down. The only reason in Cincinnati we don't have riots is because of the police, the sheriff's department, John Cranley, Joe Dieters, and the judges. You got to have all three. I got to get to the calls. Make sure, Dave, I don't talk for more than one more minute. You got to have the cops at the front line arresting. You got to have support by the politicians who hire them. You have to have prosecutors who will prosecute. You got to have judges to sentence these rioters and these arsonists and these looters and these burglars to long time in jail. So these are not, quote, protests. They are riots, and they must be dealt with as such. Riots. And I'm done. And lastly, give me one more minute. Lastly, Mike McConnell brought up a good point. I think next to myself, Mike McConnell's pretty good. He said this morning or yesterday morning, is Joe Biden that smart? So I'm listening. And I often want to hear different opinions about issues so I may test my own judgment against the other opinion. You know what I'm saying? But Mike McConnell made a rather salient point, and that is that maybe Joe Biden has been, for the last 6 months, a babbling fool. So that at the debate on Tuesday night, he is wonderful, and he wins the election. Is Joe Biden that smart, Sheriff Dave? He says yes. I'm not so sure about that. I think he's not. I think what's happening now is the real Joe Biden. When you lose mental acuity because of dementia, Alzheimer's, or whatever, it can often go downhill rapidly. 10 years ago, the Joe Biden that debated Paul Ryan in the debates of 2012, 8 years ago, that guy would win. I got to take some calls. And then the guy that debated Bernie Sanders 6 months ago wasn't that bad. This guy is a babbling idiot. By the way, there's an FC player, Cincinnati player, tested positive for COVID-19. They're scheduled to play in New York on Saturday. That game's in jeopardy. All right, enough of this babbling by me. Let's go to the fast break. All voices must be heard. Let's begin first. First of all, give me your first name, where you're calling from. Hello? 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 Give me your first name and where you're calling from.
Dave from Lower Southeastern Centerville.
The home of the Elks.
Hi. Yes. BLM needs to replace with FDM. Facts don't matter.
You know, Dave, normally facts drive opinions and not the other way around. And we live in a society where facts and objectivity doesn't matter. When often the news media talks about Trump not trusting the outcome of the election, what did Hillary Clinton say a couple weeks ago? Never concede, litigate the whole thing. Democrats are also saying we don't trust the election. Let's continue. Give me your first name and where you're calling from.
This is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Bill from Bill. Centerville up here.
The home of the Elks. Go ahead.
You got it. Hey, with regard to Biden, and that was laughable. It really was. Secondly, what's the relationship between inciting a riot and Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and George Soros that can be tracked by the FBI? There's got to be a line cut somewhere.
My friend Bill, there are millions and millions of dollars being spent by some group or organization or person to foment revolution, insurrection in this country. These rioters are being paid to riot. They make money. There's trucks being leased. There's signs being made. There's metal objects being forged. And it's being done, according to Susan Rice, who, as you may know, was Obama's national security advisor. It's being done by foreign interests, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, to bring down our country. Their goal is to cause division in America. And if that's their goal, how are we looking? From their perspective, great. We got Monty, Terry, Bill, Stephanie, thousands of others. The fast break is underway with Ted McKay. Let's continue. Monty, on a cell phone, give me your first name. Monty, where are you calling from?
Eastgate right now. Just real quick, I've got somebody there I'd like to discuss with you, but just ask one question. Can you see the city of Cincinnati or the city of Cincinnati police force say that this broadcaster is not welcome in our town?
Well, UC could do it. I could not imagine if a, may I use the term, white broadcaster had said, you know what, I don't want a black cop protecting me. He might shoot me. How long would that guy survive in that business?
Not long.
Well, ESPN's Mark Jones, I'd want to dismiss the cops. Quote, I'd rather not have the officer shoot me because he feared for his life because of the color of my skin. And his name is Mark Jones. And I would hope UC would say, you're not welcomed here. Because, by the way, the police chief of this town is black. The previous police chief was black. The one before him was black. 25% of the force is black. City council is dominated by black liberal viewpoints. Everywhere I look, I see liberals, black, white, and otherwise. And so if Mark Jones is frightened to come to Cincinnati, I'd say, what the hell, don't come. We don't want you. Let's continue. Give me your first name and give me where you're calling from.
Bill?
Yes.
This is Terry, now the retired truck driver. The last time I talked to you was ready to retire, and nothing's changed, Bill. Nothing has changed. You know, when it comes to this bunch, Biden and all of them, there's got to be such a thing as reincarnation. Nobody gets that stupid in one lifetime.
Well, do you think he's sandbagging everybody that he's sharp and he's bright and ready to issue expressive opinions on next Tuesday? And everything up to this point has been a game? I don't think so, because I want you to listen to what Joe Biden had to say the other day when he asked the group to follow him in the Pledge of Allegiance.
America, I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation, indivisible, under God, for real.
Thank you, Joe. Let's continue. Give me your first name and give me where you're calling from.
My name's Bill. I'm calling from Muncie, Indiana.
I love the Hoosiers. Go ahead.
I know you like Connersville here lately. Let me tell you, Willie, why did not one of the reporters on the ground there in Louisville or somebody get the license plate number off of that U-Haul truck and try to trace it back to where who rented it? Because somewhere there's a credit card somewhere.
Bill, I'm watching Tucker Carlson last night, and they put up the picture of the woman who rented that particular U-Haul truck with all the signs ready-made, right, ready to go. She was part of a social justice committee that was organized to bail out of jail quickly anyone who's locked up. Okay. She represented the Hollywood leftists, some corporate types, and also the George Soros faction. They have millions of dollars. And this morning in Louisville, Fox News had reporters standing out in front of the Louisville jail, in which 24 were arrested for various acts of crimes, looting Jeff Ruby's steakhouse, etc. And they were applauded as they walked out of jail by the group bailing them out. This is not a grassroots protest. This is a massive organized effort to tear down and to replace the American government by leftists like George Soros. Nothing short of that. Let's continue. All I do is talk. Give me your first name and where you're calling from, if anywhere.
Carl from Amelia.
Carl, go ahead. The home of the Barons.
I encourage nobody to watch the UC ball game tomorrow on ESPN. Listen to it on the radio. And same with the Bengals ball games. Don't watch it on TV. Listen to it on 700 WLW.
I like that. Listen to it. Thank you. Because if an ESPN employee accuses a police department of engaging in murder because of the color of his skin, I wouldn't go there, right? Aren't there some sections of town you don't want to go because of the way you look? Absolutely. So if Mark Jones of ESPN has said and tweeted out in the name of ESPN's Mark Jones that I have to be careful in Cincinnati because the cops in Cincinnati will kill me because of the color of my skin, what the hell? I wouldn't go there. Let's continue. Thousands on hold. Let's continue with a fast break. Dave, we have time for what? One or two more calls? He holds up one finger. Fortunately, not the middle. Let's continue. We have Bob. Bob, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Absolutely.
Sounds like Bob Hope from heaven. I don't know. I don't like that. Jefferson Davis headed up a Confederacy that declared war on the United States of America. I'm an American. I don't care much for Confederate statues. So Jefferson Davis, along with some other despots in history, declared war in my country, and I don't like that. That's enough. Let's continue with more. I'll be back with you Sunday night. Coming up next is Eddie Fingers et al. At Show Me the Reds. Listen tonight. They need a win on News Radio 700 WLW.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the Reds are in the race for